We are on
Blog Talk Radio.
Just being a God in the midst of our hearts and our minds and our spirits. And for the word of the Lord is right and all his work is done in truth, which is our title for this morning. All his work is done in truth. Thanking God for his truth. Thanking God for his love. Thanking God that we can trust in his word, that whatever he says he will do, he will do it. And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. And I just want to say this morning, good morning, Mother Valerie. How are you this lovely morning?
Good morning, Pastor. I'm doing fine. I'm good.
You're good? Well, because
yes.
Mother didn't give it, I'll give it. The weather report today is it is 34 degrees outside. And again, we're going to have that crazy weather where it's cold in the morning and semi-warm in the afternoon. The high today will be about 66. So dress accordingly. You know, this week we got a fairly warm week, at least up to Thursday. Then it kind of drops again. You know, so it's just, hey, it's just what it is. But we all know that as long as we do what we're supposed to do, we don't have to worry about it. We just, hey, dress accordingly. Tell God thank you that he woke you up this morning and keep it moving. Hallelujah. And Mother, I have a prayer this morning from our 365 days of prayer. And it says, draw me back. May the Lord of peace himself give you peace all the times in every way. The Lord be with you all. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 NIV. And it says, Jehovah, in you all things find their place. You bring calm to every trouble, every situation. And I believe I read the wrong one yesterday. So let me go back, Mother. And it says, my help. I looked to the mountains and hills longing for God's help. But then I realized that our true help and protection comes only from the Lord, our Creator, who made the heavens and the earth. 121st Psalm, verses 1 through 2, TPT. And, you know, that is one of my favorite scriptures, actually. I listen to it as I go to sleep many a night. I listen to 121st Psalm as well as the 91st and the 120th. Actually, I believe it's the 23rd Psalm. So I listen to quite a few Psalms. It's a group of Psalms that I listen to as I go to sleep. And this is what it says. I look up to the mountains. Does my help? Let me go to the one I like. I will lift up my eyes. There it is. To the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. There it is. And that is the 121st Psalm, verses 1 through 2. We got to know where our help comes from. And our title again this morning, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. And it says, Lord, when I feel defeated, I have nowhere to turn. I look to you. When there is no way out of the situation I'm in, I call on your name. You always provide a way through. I will not be afraid of what may come. You are the mighty conqueror. Only you can confuse the enemy and turn a situation to benefit those who love and follow you. You always know exactly what is needed. I will not tremble. I trust in you. Oh, glory to God. I trust in you, my God. My ever-present help in time of need. Creation bows to your intentions. The tides turn at your command. Shift the raging winds and calm the storms that surround your people. You are the only true, reliable one, God of your word. You will not turn a deaf ear when I cry to you. Here you come with more than I could think or ask for. And the thing is, and the question is, when was the last time you helped someone? We got to think about that. When was the last time you helped someone? Are you looking to the hills from whence comes your help? Are you trusting in the word of the Lord? Because the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. And we know we can trust in the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you with humble hearts of adoration, knowing that all things work for our good because we trust and believe in you, Lord God. Father God, as we go into your word, we ask you as always, Lord, increase as we decrease, Lord God. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength. And you are our Redeemer. And it's in you we put our trust. But we know that, Lord God, your word is true. And you are always, Father, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, the Omnipresent. And so, Father God, we ask you to please increase as we decrease, Lord God. Allow the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble heart to be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are our strength and our Redeemer. You are the forgiver of our sins. And Father God, before we go forth, we ask you to forgive us of anything we have done in thought, in word, or in deed. Anything spoken, Lord God, forgive us anything that we may have done inadvertently, not knowing we were sinning. Forgive us, God. Sins known and unknown, we ask forgiveness. We repent. And Lord God, we ask you to cleanse us with hyssop. Cleanse us with your anointing as we move forward in your word. Let this word touch someone's heart, someone's mind, and someone's spirit. That if they do not know your son, Jesus Christ, Savior, they will ask, what must I do to be saved? And we will answer, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Mother Valerie, again, good morning. I pray all is well in your home and in your life. And as we go forth in our word today, We are coming out of the book of Numbers, which we are really, I'm actually loving the book of Numbers, Mother. We learning a lot. There's a lot going on. And there's a lot of word in Numbers. You know, we have come across some things. You know, we now know why the children of Israel had to wander in the desert for 40 years. It's in the book of Numbers. For those that want to know why and how and when, because they were disobedient and hard-hearted. And instead of trusting God, they came back with a, we can't do it. They're giants over there. Instead of trusting that God brought you out of the land of Egypt, God brought you through the waters of the Red Sea, and yet you think he can't defeat giants for you? Come on now. We found that
my
out.
Lord.
And so today we are going to be coming out of the book of Numbers, chapters 19 and 20. Our psalm for this morning, which is also where our title comes from, is the 33rd psalm, verses 1 through 9. Our proverb this morning is the 11th, is Proverbs chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. And it has one of those sayings that we have heard many a time that we'll go over when we get to that book and that chapter and those verses. And our new chapter for the New Testament is coming out of Mark chapter 12, verses 1 through 27. So let's get started in our word this morning. God is good, and he's always there for us. Praise the Lord, saints. Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you this morning because I can't wait to hear the book of Numbers, because I read it, so I know what's coming, and I just get all excited and giddy. So, Mother Valerie, take us to the throne in the word of God.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. We want to thank and praise you for another day. Lord, help us with this word today. It's a good word, and we thank you. We give you praise, honor, and glory. Bless all the pastors, and God bless your people, and your word is already blessed. We just give you praise, honor, and glory, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm coming out of Numbers 19, 1, 20, and 29. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel, that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with his finger, sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be barren in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer, store them outside the camp in a clean place, and they should be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification. It is for purifying from sin. I'm so glad we don't have to do all this no more. We don't have to do any of that no more. Jesus died at Calvary once and for all. I mean, we don't have to do this. And the one who gathers the ashes of the heifer shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening, shall be a statute forever to the children of Israel and to the stranger who dwells among them. He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days, shall purify himself with water on the third day, and on the seventh day, then he will be clean. And if he does not purify himself on the third day and on the seventh day, he will not be clean. Whoever touches the body of anyone who has died and does not purify himself defiles the tabernacle of the Lord. That person should be cut off from Israel. He should be unclean because the water of the purification was not sprinkled on him. His uncleanness is still on him. This is the law. When a man dies in a tent, all who comes in the tent and all who are in the tent shall be unclean 7 days. And every open vessel which has no cover fastened on it, it is unclean. Whoever is in the open field touches one who is slain by a sword or who has died of a bone of a man or of a grave shall be unclean 7 days. And for the unclean person, they shall take some of the ashes of the heifer, burned for purification from sin, and running water shall be put on them in a vessel. A clean person shall take himself, dip it in the water, sprinkle it on the tent, on all the vessels and who was there, on the one who touches a bone, the slain, the dead, or a grave. The clean person shall sprinkle the unclean on the third day and on the seventh day, and on the seventh day he shall be purified himself, wash his clothes, bathe in water, and at even he shall be clean. But the man who is unclean does not purify himself, that person shall be cut off from among the assembly, because he has defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. The water of purification has not been sprinkled on him. He's unclean. It shall be a perpetual statute for them. He who sprinkles the water of purification shall wash his clothes, and he who touches the water of purification shall be unclean until evening. Whatever the unclean person touches shall be unclean, and the person who touches shall be unclean until evening. The title of our subject, the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth. So the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth. Chapter 20. You know, that's really good. God is just a good God. He's good all the time. Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moses and Aaron. And the people contended with Moses and spoke, saying, if only we had died when our brothers died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? Why have you made us come out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? Is it not a place of grain or figs, vines or pomegranates? Nor is there any water to drink. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of tabernacle meeting, and they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you should bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. And so Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock? Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod. Water came out abundantly, and the congregation and the animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you should not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them. Then Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. Thus says your brother Israel, you know all the hardship that has befallen us, how our fathers went down to Egypt, and we dwelt in Egypt a long time. And the Egyptians afflicted us and our fathers. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice, and sent the angel and brought us up out of Egypt. Now here we are in Kadesh, a city on the edge of your borders. Please let us pass through your country. We will not pass through fields or vineyards, nor will we drink water from wells. We will go along the king's highway. We will not turn aside to the right hand or to the left until we have passed through your territory. Then Eden said to him, you shall not pass through my land, lest I come out against you with a sword. And so the children of Israel said to him, we will go by the highway, and if I or my livestock drink any of your water, then I'll pay for it. Let me only pass through on foot, nothing more. And then he said, you should not pass through. So Edom came out against them with many men and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. Now the children of Israel, the whole congregation, journeyed from Kadesh and came to Mount Hor. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor by the border of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter the land which I am given to the children of Israel, because you rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar, his son, bring them up to Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments. Put them on Eleazar, his son, for Aaron shall be gathered to his people and die there. Moses did it as the Lord commanded. And they went up to Mount Hor in the sight of all the congregation. Moses stripped Aaron of his garments, put them on Eleazar, his son, and Aaron died there on the top of the mountain. Then Moses and Eleazar came down from the mountain. Now all the congregation saw that Aaron was dead. All the house of Israel mourned for Aaron. They mourned 30 days. Life lesson. Numbers 20 and 12, you did not believe me. You should not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience always brings blessings, as disobedience always brings consequences. Moses allowed his anger and frustration to provoke him into an ugly display of the flesh. Life lessons. Numbers 20 and 21. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his territory. So Israel turned away from him. It may have confused Israel why the Lord allowed the Edomites to refuse them passage. But as the children of a sovereign God, we are never victims of our own circumstance. God is there, and God is good. God is good all the time. God is just a good God, and we have to obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor.
Amen, Mother. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, and Moses, this is where also in this chapter that you just read in chapter 20, Mother, this is where Moses lost his way into getting into the promised land. When the Lord told Moses to speak to the rock, he hid it because he was so sick and tired of being sick and tired of folks just don't want to obey, don't want to be obedient. You know, everything they do, they just do it wrong. And so Moses messed up his blessing. You know, come on. Folks, you don't want people to mess up your blessing. And that's what Moses allowed because he just got so tired, just whiny and complaining all the time. And he had to deal with it all as a leader. You know, I would not want to be the senior pastor because senior pastors have to deal with everything, from the deacon's board to the mother's board to this board and that board and this group and that group, and before long, they like, you know, I can imagine what they go through. I can imagine what senior pastors go through because they have to make sure every bill is paid. They got a lot on their plate. And if they don't have good people around them, that's why you hear so many churches failing, because the pastors are having to do it all. You know, making sure that the light bill is on, and if folks don't pay their tithe, then the light bill may have to come out of the pastor's pocket. And so the pastor can't be just the pastor of the church. They got to have a cover all the expenses of the church as well as their own. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. And folks don't always appreciate the work that the senior pastors have to do. That's why they have assistants to do other things, but the assistants have to step up to the plate too. We got to do our job. Because if we don't do our job, then we make them not be able to do theirs. It's a lot of work. Moses had his hands full with these little hard-headed folks. Come on now. And lost his opportunity to go into the promised land. All he could do is look over and see it and not be able to enter it because of this right here in Numbers chapter 20. Is that then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak, there is that word, speak to the rock before their eyes. And Moses got so tired, mother, he got tired. You know, and as we go into to the word, David, you know, also was going through some stuff. But David was repenting because, see, David in his situation, he was having to repent because he had lost his mind and gone buck wild with Bathsheba, you know, to the point of killing her husband, that he had to repent. He had to be forgiven. Because, you know, Nathan did not even play. You know, that was in verse 32. But he's still on his knees, repenting. And then he knew that when God will forgive you, he said, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. He wanted us to understand you got to praise God even in the midst. You got to praise God in the midst of whatever it is that's going on in your life. You got to praise God. And it says, praise the Lord with a harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. We got to be joyful when it comes to praising God. It says, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. That's our word for this morning. For the word of the Lord is right. When God says, speak to a rock, you bet not hit it, because you will block your blessing. Come on now. All his work is done in truth. And then it tells us he loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. But we want to hear all the negatives. We got to know that God is good and that in the end, we win. And it says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a harp. He lays up the deep storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he speaks, for he spoke, and it was done. Can I say it? For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, had Moses just spoke, he would have been the one leading the children of Israel into the promised land and not Joshua. But he had trained Joshua very well. He had trained him to lead. He had trained him to minister. He had trained him to be the next senior pastor, the next shepherd. He had trained his armor bearer very well. And as we go into our word this morning in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, as a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. Say amen. How many beautiful women do you see doing some pretty scandalous things, running around half naked? Every time you see them, they ain't got no clothes on. We understand you're pretty. We understand you got a nice body. We understand you got a lot of money. But you don't have to run around degrading yourself. And it says this, a ring of gold in a swine snout is a lovely, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good. The temptation of the wicked is wrath. It's wrath. And as we go into what the Bible says, you know, and we're going to finish up this proverb, and it says, there is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but is led to poverty. What did it say? It tells us that we have to give with a cheerful heart. You know, you don't begrudgingly give to God. Well, here I go. I got to pay my tithe. Every time. Why we got to give all this money to the church? Why we got to do this? As we get into our word in the New Testament today, you'll understand what Jesus said. You know, I got to pay taxes. Oh, I hate taxes. Say this, Mother Valerie, that when we pay our taxes, we are taking care of the roads. We're taking care of the bridges. We're taking care of the airways, the highways, and the byways. You know, when we pay our taxes, we are taking care of what we need to take care of. We are doing what we are supposed to do. But when we go back into the Word of God, you know, in our words this morning, again, going back to our song, it says, sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy, for the word of the Lord is right and all his work is done in truth. And when we go into what the Bible says about the source of our joy, and it says this throughout the Bible, we are told to rejoice in the Lord. That's, again, one of my favorite scriptures as well. And real, real quick to the 33rd Psalm, which is what we're into. You know, we got to rejoice in the Lord. Got to give God the praise that is due his name. Rejoice in the Lord. And it tells us that the joy that we have is unbeatable joy. And it comes from God. Unbeatable joy comes from God. And, you know, I love verse chapter 30 of the 30th Psalm. And it says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. God will take you from where you are and put you where you need to be. God knows your heart. He knows everything about it. And, you know, when we go into the 33rd Psalm, and it says, rejoice in the Lord. Oh, you righteous, rejoice in the Lord. And it says, though we know that those who know the Lord God should be joyful. What exactly is joy? And why should joy flow from us? The first thing we need to understand is that there is a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness generally has an external cause. People are happy when things go their way. When they have enough of what they need, they can do as they please. We can have moments or seasons of happiness. However, the most important thing to understand about happiness is that it is based on external circumstances. Yet joy is the result of something that goes on within us. It has an internal cause. Joy is an abiding emotion that God gives his children. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, a person who has not accepted Christ as their Savior and therefore does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling them may have seasons of happiness, but they cannot have the joy of the Lord because the Holy Spirit is not there to produce it within them. Therefore, the source of our joy is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is the result of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. When the Spirit of God comes to live in you, Spirit will produce, as Galatians 5 and 22 through 23 says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, those fruit of the Spirit. And it says long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit produces joy within us by conforming us to the likeness of Christ, teaching us how to exhibit the characteristics of Christ in our life. Come on now. When we are walking in submission to the Holy Spirit, it is natural for us to experience joy. No matter what is going on in our lives, even when we go through difficulties and trials, we'll still have joy because the Holy Spirit will remind us of God's promises. As Jesus said in John 14, 26 through 27, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Holy Spirit will remind us of all that Christ has given us and will fill us with peace. And we know that word, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We know that is spoken many times at funerals and at memorial services. We cannot be troubled because we know that our loved one is with the Lord. Why? Because God's word tells us so, that absent from this earthly body is in the presence of the Lord. So we know where they are. They're in the presence of God. And I'm going to say this, God forgive me if I hurt anybody's feelings, but sometimes they're in the presence of God looking up, or they're in the cradle of the arms of God. And I always think about, Mother and I talked about this, when Lazarus, remember Lazarus, the beggar, you know, rich man walked by him every day, didn't even give him a crust of bread. And then when they died, Lazarus was in the arms of Abraham, and the rich man was in the burning pit of hell, looking up, talking about, can you send me a drink of water? And what was he told? You cannot breach this schism. You can't come here, and he can't come there. And no, he's not going to tell your brothers. You know, they didn't look at him in life, and they won't look at him in death. So, no, your brothers are going to probably wind up right down there with you because you're selfish. You know, and I'm paraphrasing. Because you didn't want to do right as you lived. So don't even look up here when you did. Yeah, you're in my presence, but you can only look up. So I'm going to say that, you know, and I probably have hurt some people's feelings. But you know when somebody dies, evil. And, yes, absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord. To find your way right down there in the pit, waiting for judgment day, looking up at somebody that you mistreated, that you may have murdered, that you may have killed without repentance, looking down on you, and you feeling bad then because you know you can never go up. And I'm not sure. I thank you, Lord. God gave me that. I was going to say, I don't know where that came from. But, yeah, I do. That came from the Lord. Because we have to live this life like we want to be in the mix. We got to treat people with love and kindness. That's what the Word of God tells us. With love and kindness, do we draw them? We got to be loving and we got to be kind. And we got to trust God that everything will work out for us. And then it tells us in this word that Dr. Stanley gives us. And he says, still, and he tells you, still says this. When we suffer, the Holy Spirit will remind us of all that Christ has given us. That means that we have to believe God's promises. If we don't trust God's assurances to us, then it won't help us when the Holy Spirit reminds us of them. Therefore, to have the joy of the Lord, we must have faith in the Bible. We must obey the word of God. There is no such thing as doubting God's promises and having the joy of the Lord. Friends, have you lost your joy? You can lose your joy when you sin against God or refuse to believe his word. To regain your joy, you must immediately confess your sin to God and repent of it. That's it. You got to repent. God intends for his people to rejoice, which is why he's given us this awesome gift of joy. Therefore, trust God, believe his word, and allow the Holy Spirit to express the joy of the Lord through you. And my prayer for you will be the one we find in Romans 15 and 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. We got to know who we belong to. We got to know we belong to the Most High God, who is the source of our strength and the strength of our life, because he loves us like that. He trusts us, and he wants the best for us. The best is yet to come when we trust God. Hallelujah. I'm just filled up, Mother Valerie. Filled up to the brim, knowing that we are children of God. And as we go into Mark chapter 12, when he began to speak to them in parables, a man planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a place for the wine vat, and built a tower. And he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, as vintage time, he sent a servant to the vine dressers that he might receive some of the fruit of the vineyard from the vine dressers. And they took him and beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent them another servant. And at him, they threw stones, wounded him in the head, and sent him away shamefully treated. And again, he sent another, and him they killed, and many others, beating some and killing some. And let's call it like it is. That is theft. They stole his vineyard. They stole it. And then when he came time to collect, that's just like somebody renting your house. And when you come to collect rent, they throw stuff at you or beat you up and say, we ain't giving you nothing. We're not going to pay. We're going to live in your house for free. That's what this is like. They're putting it where, as they say, putting it where the goats can get it. And it says, thank you, Joe Madison. And then it goes on to say, therefore, still having one son, he believed, he also, they will respect my son. But those vine dressers said amongst themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him and killed him and cast him out of the vineyard. Therefore, what will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and destroy the vine dressers and give the vineyard to others. Have you not even read the scripture? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then they sought to lay hands on him, but feared the multitude, for they knew he had spoken the parable against them. So they left him and went away. This is already the Pharisees. It's who he was talking about. You know, he had to let them know, I know what you're going to do. And then it says, then they sent to him some of the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch him in his words. When they had come, they said to him, teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one. You know, come on, wait a minute. Let's catch that. He said it again. He said, teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one. For you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Okay. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? We talked about that at the beginning of the show. Shall we pay or shall we not pay? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said to them, why do you test me? Bring me a denarius, and may I and that I may see it. So they brought it. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And Jesus answered and said to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Come on now. So all those folks out there claiming to love the Lord and that they are Christians, but always don't want to pay taxes, don't want to file taxes, don't want to do anything. Well, that's not the word of God. The word of God says to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In other words, you pay your taxes and you pay your tithes. And they marveled at him, say, there is no resurrection. Came to him, and they asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first took a wife, and dying he left no offspring. And the second took her, and he died, nor did he leave any offspring. And the third likewise. So the seven had her and left no offspring. Last of all, the woman died also. And this is a word that we need to take and understand. And it says, therefore, in the resurrection, when they rise, whose wife will she be? For all seven had her as a wife. Come on now. And Jesus gives us an understanding of who we will be when we leave this earth in the resurrection, who we will be. And Jesus answered, not Pastor Bridget, not Mother Valerie, not Pastor Jesse, not anybody that we know, Pastor Davis or anyone else. This is what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said to them, are you not therefore mistaken, because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? But when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. You have folks that say, oh, no, they're not. You know, when you die, and that's it. You don't become like an angel in heaven. That's not what the word of God says. The word of God says that when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead. Come on now. But the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. Understand. It's not the same. We are not the same when we rise up, as Mother says, in the rapture jump, because the dead in Christ will rise first. Come on now. And when we are taken up, we will neither marry or were married. We will not marry or be given in marriage. We will be like angels. Praise the Lord. Like angels in heaven. Not my words, but the words of the Savior. And all I can say is praise the Lord, saints. God has already told us through his Son, Jesus Christ, where we will be, how we will be. As much as I love and love my late husband, I understand that we were together on this earth for those 32 years, and that is it. He will not be my husband ever again. It's done. And we got to come to that and understand that is knowledge of the truth of the word of God, that we will neither marry or be given in marriage in the next life. That's the word. We will be like angels in heaven. Hallelujah. Woo! So we know that those that have gone before that we know love the Lord and were saved, set free, filled with the Holy Spirit, had accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that they, whoo, hallelujah, are in the presence of the Lord, and that they are like the angels in heaven. Praise God. Mark 12:17, render to Caesar things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. We have duties and responsibilities, Dr. Stanley tells us, to civil authorities that our faith does not negate. Jesus never advocated rebellion against the occupying Romans, despite their brutality and godlessness. Never said rebel. God did not tell folks to storm the capital of the United States because the person that they wanted to be in charge didn't win. You know, we got to get out of that foolishness. God is in charge, and God is the ultimate judge of everything. And when we try to go against God, it will not be good for us. Mark 12:27, he is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Hallelujah, Mother Valerie. He is the God of the living. Luke 20:38, as all live to him. The long deceased patriarchs live in his glorious presence, as we will someday. And God is true light. For the word of the Lord is right, Mother. And all his work is done in truth. We got to believe it. I love the word that comes when we go to verse number 14. And it says, when they had come, they said to him, teacher, we know that you are true and care about no one, for you do not regard the person of men, but teach the way of God in truth. Come on now. We got to teach in truth. And how do we teach? We teach the word of God. And I have a word from my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. As we get ready to wrap it up. And it says this, good morning. Come on now. Don't wait until the battle is over to shout. Just know that in the end, you will win. Have a motivated Monday. And I tell Sister Carolyn, thank you for this beautiful word. And we know it is the word of God because we've got to know the battle is not ours. It is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Mother Valerie, we are ready to wrap it up this morning. What has God put on your heart from this wonderful word today that you would like to share with us?
You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about Moses. When God told him to speak to the rock, instead of speaking to the rock, he struck the rock. And because of it, he didn't get a chance to go into the promised land. He did not.
Nope.
Because he didn't do what God told him to do. Joshua took the people into the promised land, not Moses.
Yes, ma'am.
God showed Moses the promised land. But because he struck the rock, didn't speak to the rock, he disobeyed. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He didn't get a chance. All he did was look at the promised land. Joshua took the people. God gave it to Joshua to take the people in, not Moses. So
that's
we
right.
need to do exactly what God tells us to do. I mean, whatever God says is right, and he wants you to obey like you want your children to obey. You have to obey God. And that's all there is to it. I mean,
Amen.
Moses was a great man of God. Even Moses have to obey God. And that's all there is to it. You have to obey God. And he didn't. He let the people irritate him and frustrate him until he just went,
yep.
took the rock, struck the rock. You can't do that. You can't do it. Even Moses. So that's about it for today. I guess it's
Amen.
A wrap.
It's a wrap, Mother. And I thank you for joining me this morning. I thank you for taking the time, you know, because we are all in this, I call it the flux of time because we sprung forward. So last week this was 6:54 and today is almost 8 o'clock. So, you know, we are all out of character, but my body never did adjust to the fall back. So I've always been up at this time anyway. So I'm like, okay, thank you, God. Now I feel like I'm back on the right time. The only problem is I have a tendency to stay up too late once I hit daylight saving time. But because I feel like I'm on Eastern time and then I, you know, lose track. So, but I still thank God for waking me up this morning. I thank God for just another beautiful day. For you, Mother Valerie, you know, and I just want to take these last few minutes to tell the children of Mother Rita, job well done. Job well done. They sent their mother off with a beautiful memorial celebration. So I'm so grateful we were able to go, Mother, and I'm so grateful for Mother Rita that she gave us It's a Wrap. And so in her honor, we will always say It's a Wrap. So I pray for all of you. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord, knowing that God is good and that one day, absent from this earthly body, we will be in the presence of the Lord on the right side of the schism. We'll be right up there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and Jesus. We'll be on the right side. Hallelujah. I'm on the right side, and I'm thanking God for his blessings, for his glory, and for his humble praise of all of us. God praises us as we praise him, proud of his children. And he'll tell you one day, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that's what we want to hear as the sons and daughters of God. Well done. Mother Valerie, well done. As we move forward and as we wrap it up. So, Mother, what is it? It is a wrap. Thank you, Mother Rita. We love you always because we are always willing, ready, available, presently praying. It's a wrap. Amen.